Lord God, we praise you this morning for who you are. Good all the time. Gracious all the time. And so we gather to celebrate your love, to remember your love, to rededicate and commit ourselves to walking according to your ways of love, because we trust you. We trust your love. And we know that you're with us and that you intend to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine in this world among us and through us. We acknowledge, Lord, the pain of our world, the violence that's just so evident. We pray your forgiveness for our part in it all. And we pray that even today as we gather, good Father, as we celebrate your love, that you would effect that change in us, in our hearts, that we might live as your children, sharing your love, being peacemakers in this world, to the glory of your name and to the good of this world you love so much. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to be seated. And children, if you want to go this way up through second grade, the children can go ahead out that way and join Miss Hannah over there. And head to children's worship. So today we're continuing and we're almost to the end of our series on the prophet Elijah. We've been going through this summer since the beginning of June, and it's just been a wonderful time for me to go deep with this prophet that I've never kind of taken this much time to think about, pray about, to study. And today we're coming toward the finish line of Elijah's story in the Old Testament. He's going to pass on the baton, so to speak, in Second Kings chapter 2. The baton's going to get passed on from this great prophet who just kind of suddenly burst on the scene. That baton is going to be passed on, that ministry is going to be passed on to Elisha. Elisha, we learned a few weeks ago, has been walking with him as his servant. We don't really know how long, but he has been following him, learning from him, talking to him, watching him. And now we come toward the end of Elijah's ministry, and there's obviously anxiety going on in the community. Somehow these companies of prophets in different towns throughout Israel know that this is the time that Elijah's going to leave them. And of course, you know from your own life, when somebody really important to you, you know that it's come to the end with them, that relationship's coming to an end, or say a job's coming to an end. We always wonder, well, what's next? Is there hope for what lies behind? There's a lot of anxiety around that. And you pick that up in today's story. This sense of change is overshadowing everything else that we'll read. I think about how right now it's the first Sunday of August and school's about to start. And I bet some of our students are really excited about that, right? So, you know, it's that idea, though, that as you get closer to the school year beginning, it starts to overshadow. Or like, you're having fun, but maybe this is the last time we're going to be able to do this until next year. Like, I started thinking when I was pulling weeds yesterday, maybe this will be the last time, and it's going to snow soon, and I won't be able to pull weeds anymore. You know, like, that impending snowfall is kind of beginning. I have a ways to go, overshadowing what's taking place. That's happening here. In fact, the first verse of chapter 2 of 2 Kings tells us when Elijah was about to ascend, you know, when he was about to go up to heaven in a whirlwind, that the rest of it happens with that in mind. So I want to invite you to listen in and think about, ask God to speak to you about how you face these finish lines, these change points in your life, and what God may be calling you to do as you face your next one or your next ones. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, yes, I know. Be silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up his mantle, up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. When the company of prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, the Spirit of the Lord rests on Elisha. They came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. There's a lot going on in this story, a lot of dialogue, a lot of repetition, a lot of drama, obviously. That picture of Elisha going up into heaven in the whirlwind or in a chariot of fire, that's something we see in artwork through the ages. But there's a lot more going on here, too. There's this impending finish line, this sense that change is about to happen, and how the different people handle that change, the advancing finish line, it can teach us a lot about how we are called by God to handle the changes that come our way, what we're supposed to do as we approach the finish lines that are a part of our lives. And as I look at this passage, the first thing that I want to name, I think what we need to name together is as we approach the finish line, whatever that finish line might be, is that we know that we accept, maybe even welcome, the fact that change happens. As human beings, we spend a lot of our time, a lot of anxiety, trying to avoid change, trying to make sure it doesn't happen. Get over it, would you? Change happens. It's a part of life. And God calls us to walk forward in this life, not some dream world where change doesn't happen, where challenges don't come our way, but in this world, in the midst of whatever it is that's going on for you, whatever it is that's around the corner, whatever that... Change happens. Get over it. Accept it. Welcome it. And know this, that the ending the endings that we see are not the end of the story. That our endings, what we see as endings, are not God's endings. You know, God's story is so much bigger than our stories. What God sees is so much grander, so much broader than what we see. And so when you see an end coming, the end, whatever that might mean to you, coming, don't be afraid. God's ending is not your ending. God's ending is bigger. He sees farther, more fully than you do. You can see in this passage how the prophets, these companies of prophets that are in different towns, are anxious. Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? From over your head, literally it says in the Hebrew, you know, that you've had his protection over you all this time. You've had him to guide you, to give you wisdom, to protect you. And God's going to lift that. You're going to be responsible. You're going to have to make decisions. And God will be with you. In fact, that's the thing we see through this. In the midst of all the anxiety these people may have, is that not only are our endings not the end of the story, but that as we venture forward in our story, in God's story, we're not alone. I love the fact that there are these companies of prophets along the way, ready to talk about what Elisha is facing, this big change. I love the fact that God is with them all the way along. You might remember a few chapters ago talking about Elijah, how he was out in the wilderness after this difficult time, and Jezebel, the queen, is after him, and he says to God, "Only me, I'm the only one in all of Israel." And God says, that's not really true. I've got 7,000 others. And today we get a glimpse of some of those others. It's true for us too. One of the things that's most difficult for us is when we're going through life, we think we're alone. We think nobody else has ever faced what we're facing. When we discover that we're not alone, that there are people that have gone through just what you're going through, that can be so helpful. It's freeing, you know, to go to a counselor and say, "I bet no, you've never seen this before." And they say, you know what? I've got a support group for you. How important for us. That's what we're called to be for one another, to be here for one another, with one another. We're not alone. This challenge, this life of change, the story we're living out, we're called to do this together. And we do this knowing that we're not alone. We have one another, but we also have God with us. You know, that God continues to call his people forward. And as we venture forward in this life of challenge and of change, we need to know that we're not the first ones to be called by God. We're not going to be the last ones to be called by God. That's part of what's going on here. You know, Elijah, he's such a huge figure in the Old Testament. You can just imagine these prophets, these companies of prophets. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? The Lord's going to take Elijah away. You know, Elijah wasn't the first one to be called by God. God had been working through Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Joshua and Moses. Yes, through Elijah, and he's going to work through Elisha. He's going to work through a guy named Paul and through the person that follows him called Timothy. You get the idea? We're not the first ones either, and we won't be the last ones. We're just called to do our part. To step forward with courage, to do our part in this grand story that God is writing, that God is working out among us and through us. Because here's what we need to know is not only are we not the first and we won't be the last to be called by God, but that we are called by God. We got to hear that word, that you are called by God to do your part in the story that God's writing. It's not just your story to write. Your life is not just your life to live. You're called to be, by God, a part of the story God is writing, God is accomplishing in our world. I had a wonderful conversation with somebody really dear to me, a young man who's been starting up his own business over the last several years, and it's going well. He said, over the last year, God's been saying, calling me to start asking, where's God in my business? What is it God wants me to be doing with my business? How is it that I'm called to honor and serve God's purposes? And I love those questions that he's asking. Whatever we're doing in life, whatever the different hats are we're wearing, friend, son, daughter, student, doctor, pastor, whatever it might be, each one of us is called by God to do our part in God's story, in what God is doing in the world, generation by generation. And so the question for us to be asking is, what is God's call in my life with the resources and abilities, the gifts, the relationships, the opportunities? What does God want me to be doing? Because as we step forward, we need to know that God will provide a way for us to live that out in our lives. You know, it might look like a dead end for you, but if God's calling you to move forward, move forward. And maybe that dead end, maybe death even, will be the way God works out his story through you. Because God will provide a way for his story for you and through you to continue on. We see this again and again. What's interesting in this chapter right now is as Elijah goes from place to place, he's revisiting places that Joshua went after he crossed the Jordan with the Israelite people. They left Egypt, went through the wilderness. They come to the Jordan, they cross the Jordan, and they go to places like Gilgal and Bethel, and I'm sure you remember Jericho. And now they're revisiting these places. They come to the Jordan, and God provides a way across the Jordan on dry ground. And after Elijah's gone up to heaven, Elisha has that mantle of Elijah. He goes back to the bank of the Jordan. He strikes the water with the mantle, and he says, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And guess where the Lord, the God of Elijah, is? He's right there, providing a way for Elisha now to cross the Jordan, just like Joshua did, into the promised land, to do his part, to help the people claim and reclaim this faith that God has been calling us to through the ages, to live that out and to call others to live that out. Now it's Elisha's turn, and God provides a way for him. And this has been so important to me as I've been reflecting on this story, to think that as I venture forward and I'm not sure how this can work out, that God will provide a way for Mark Patty to live out God's call in his life. And he'll provide a way for you to live out God's call in your life. You can trust him at that. Even when it's difficult, even when it looks like a finish line, even when it's the Red Sea, it's like, this can't happen. Even when it's the Jordan at flood stage like it was for Joshua and the Israelites. If God wants you to go through there, he'll provide a way. God will provide a way for you to fulfill his call in your life. So venture forward with courage, with faith, with hope, with confidence. Because God's presence and God's power are real, always. Wherever you are, whatever the challenge, whatever the finish line is, God is present. His power is present for you and through you, always. I've never seen this before in this passage when I've looked at it, but it just became so clear this time. I've always wondered about this line that Elisha has, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." Like, is this just some kind of saying that they would say when somebody dies? Why is he crying this out? You know why? Because he actually saw it. He saw those chariots of fire, those horses of fire, the presence of God, the power of God present for him and with him in that circumstance. Not everybody gets to see beyond this ordinary world. Not everybody has those eyes of faith to see that God is present and at work in whatever is taking place in our world. But God has given us the gift of his Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to see that God is present. His power is real for us everywhere we go. Every day of our lives, always. "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen, I see. You remember? That's what Elijah said. If you see me when I am being taken from you, it will be given to you. That double portion of my spirit will be given to you. And by the way, that double portion is not just like more than what Elijah had. That's the Old Testament way of saying, Father, I want the inheritance. You know, the oldest son would get a double portion of the inheritance because that oldest son is supposed to be the one who carries on the family business, the family name. And that's what we're called to do, right? Children of God, given the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans 8, that if we've been given the Spirit of God, that we're children of God, carrying on the family business, the mission, just like Elisha carried it on for Elijah, that we too pray for that Spirit. Give me, oh God, a double portion of your Spirit. That inheritance that you promise is already mine. Elisha had been promised this before, that he'd be a successor. But here he claims it. He asks for it, and he gets it. And his eyes are open to see the chariots of fire, the horses of fire. In chapter 6 of 2 Kings here, Elisha and his servant will be surrounded by a great army, and his servant will say, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, don't worry. We've got an army around us that's far greater than this army. And he asks God, would you open the eyes of my servant so he can see? And he looks out, and there surrounding them are, you already know, right? Chariots of fire and horses of fire surrounding them. The army that surrounds them is far greater than any power here on earth. This is one of the things that the Old Testament says to the people of Israel again and again, that our hope, our power is not in our own chariots and our own horses and our own wisdom, but in the presence and the power of God that is with us always. And so, with God's people through the ages, we pray for eyes to see the presence and power of God, for eyes to see the presence and power of God, for ears to hear God's call, and for the grace to follow, to venture forward together, encouraging one another, as we live out our part in God's great story in our world. Would you pray with me? God, you are so good. We confess that we get anxious, that we wonder. And yet we're reminded again today of what the prophets taught, that you are real and that you really are at work in our world and that we can trust you. Help us today, Lord, in response to your call to come and receive the gift of your grace, your forgiveness, and to be strengthened by this meal, that we might go forward into the world as people of faith, that we might go forward into a world so full of challenges as people of confidence, sharing your love, doing your will by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.